When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Right now, Jason Leisure, Dan Wiederer, they're just sharpening knives.
Jason Leisure.
You're right about miserable Jason Leisure. He joins us now.
I feel like Stu Gatz doesn't really like this segment.
I think you're great. I think you're miserable.
The one thing that you and I have in common is that we both don't like this segment.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Most coaches get months to get ready for their first game. For you, you know, you had a week. Yeah. So how are you doing as far as getting the operation leading up to the game and then on game day the way you want? And obviously you still have 4 more weeks to try to fine tune that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the operation leading up to it was fine. I don't make excuses. Whether I have a week or have 5 months, the goal is to win football games. We didn't win. So that's going to be my only focus today and moving forward.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Jason Leisure is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. I got some stuff I need at the house. I'm going to have to hit them up to do some stuff. Jason Leisure does an incredible job of covering the Bears for the Sun-Times, and he's a weekly guest on the Spiegel and Holmes show, and he joins us now. Hey, Mr. Leisure, how are things?
Hello. You guys look good. Both of you guys look good. Lawrence, is that like a maroon sweater?
Yeah, like a cranberry, I think, is what we're going with today. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much.
Matt, you're looking sharp. You got something after this or what?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Going to see some good Chicago music in a beautiful location tonight. Andrew Bird over at the 4th Presbyterian Church. But really, I'm dressed like this because I'm not invited to the Odyssey holiday party, which is later on.
It's going on now, right?
Yeah, it's happening. They're all gathering right now.
I saw Layla and Marshall walk out of here. Oh, they're all ready to go ice skating.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. They're going to have fun. It's during our show. It always is, Jason. I hate the world. Hi, buddy.
I've never been to a work Christmas party ever.
Never?
I don't know if they had one or I didn't go. I just have never been to, like, that's kind of a rite of passage as an adult in the workforce, I think, is the company holiday party, but I've never been to one.
Even in Miami? Because I feel like when you were in Miami, that would have been the time to go to a company holiday party, or maybe not the time to go.
That'd have been fun. I'm always busy, though. I predominantly have covered NBA and NFL in my career, so that's one of the things that happens. Lawrence, you know this from covering the NFL beat, is it's really about days of the week. It's really not about whether, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or somebody's birthday is on a particular day in your house. It's really like Christmas Day is a Wednesday this year. And it's like any other Wednesday in the football calendar.
There was a moment during the Niners game when the graphic on the Fox broadcast came up. And the Bears were listed in the hunt. They were 4-8.
They technically are.
They technically are
even after the loss. Do you guys ever go on the? My favorite thing is that for this is the New York Times playoff simulator. Okay. I don't know if you guys have ever been on that, but you can go through and you can change every result, and it gives you a probability of them making the playoffs. And I was trying to figure out Sunday during the game. It very early started on this project Sunday. Believe me. Of are they eliminated if they lose today? Because that was already pretty much a done deal by the end of the first quarter. And you could still change enough results to get them in some kind of multi-team tie where they would get in. If they won out, and Washington won out, or lost out rather, and some other things happened, you could still get the Bears in. So they are technically not mathematically eliminated, but all it would take is Washington winning any game or the Bears losing any game, which I believe one of those things will happen.
So, I mean, we heard it from Jalen Johnson on Monday, and I wonder how much you're hearing it and or feeling it from other players, etc. This idea that all that's left is to put good things on tape. Like, the players seem to be playing out the string of this season, which could make for some sketchy performances if they are not together from here on out.
It's scary to think of what those games look like when you have that lack of cohesion, because that's really how it manifests. It's not people not playing hard, because everyone that plays that game has personal, professional pride for one, but they also have financial incentive, whether they're under contract for 2025 or not, to improve their stock, improve their numbers, improve their grading and things like that. The problem is, if you get guys that are really just looking to do what's best for them, that is not usually a way to win.
For how we talked about this opportunity that was in front of the Bears, it didn't come through, and I'm not shocked by that because of you having an interim coach and him having to figure a lot of things out. As you're watching the game, was there anything that surprised you at how it played out after listening to those guys talk about the excitement for the experience?
I was surprised that a San Francisco team that is injured and struggling just demolished them like that from the start. That it's 24-0 before you even really open your eyes. And it'd be different if that happened, you know, if you look back to last year, the last time they lost that badly was to the Chiefs down in Arrowhead. And that game could have been 100-0 if the Chiefs had kept everybody in and really wanted it. I think the 49ers probably could have scored 50 if they had really wanted to keep running up the score. The 49ers are a sub-500 team with you know, an MVP candidate on injured reserve, or out at least, in McCaffrey. And it was just dominant. And this Bears team should not be that far away. This roster should not be that far away.
So why does it feel as far away as it does? Because that's the thing. Coming in here on Monday after that thing, it was like, oh my God, it feels so far away.
Yeah.
Are we talking about bad roster building from Ryan Poles, or are we talking about something that, like, a culture that was just so decayed and so broken that they look worse than the roster is right now?
Every problem you could mention is a Ryan Poles problem. He's at the top of the organization there in terms of the football side. So any problem with Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus or whatever, is you trace it right up to Ryan Poles. And he has mostly avoided the blame for that. We talked about this last time I was on, about his public approval rating. And one of the things he said in an interview I had with him in August was he thought it was weird. He objected to the media always pinning this win-loss record on Matt Eberflus, but out the other side of your mouth, crediting Ryan Poles for making a lot of progress personnel-wise. Well, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore. The record is his now. We're not on Matt Eberflus. Like, this is now your record of 14-33, I think it is now. I see a few problems here of why a roster that I think still should be a playoff roster is now just plunging toward a top five pick. I think that the biggest problem has been mismanagement, that Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron mismanaged this roster. And you see so many guys on this team that are not what you thought they were, or not what they were last year. And there's not an injury that explains it or anything like that. I think Caleb Williams would have been better than this had he had better coaching and better management around him. But I think the huge flaw in the roster for Ryan Poles, the one that has really just undercut a lot of the good that is on the ledger for him for 2024, is he thought he had a league average offensive line with great depth. And neither one of those things is even close to true. I was going through, Lawrence, you know these flip cards you get before the game?
I love the flip card.
I do.
It's on good stock.
It is. It's glossy. It's got both teams. But I was going through the Bears depth chart, the first string, and just making a shopping list. You can see I was circling positions and everything like that. I circled every position on the offensive line besides Darnell Wright. You need a massive overhaul on your offensive line. You need a lot of other things too. And you only have so many resources. It has been a challenge to rebuild the Bears from what Ryan Poles inherited and with some resources that had already been compromised in advance by Ryan Pace. But, man, the shopping list shouldn't be this big, I don't think, going into year four. And I don't know if you have enough ammo to throw at that. I mean, if you want to solve...
Isn't that crazy considering, like, that's been... The thing that Ryan Poles can lean on is like, well, look at all this cap space we've got.
Stockpiling
assets. Look at these. Yep. And now you're in a place where you have to replace pretty much your entire offensive line because the two guys that are supposed to be good at scouting offensive line have been bad at it.
Hmm. Yeah. And if you want to fix the offensive line, you totally can because you've got picks like 9, 36, and 40 or something as of now. That's a starting tackle in the first round and two really good interior instant starter offensive linemen in the second round. But then what are you doing about all these other problems? Because there's two sides to this flip card, and I've got a few things circled on defense too.
Yeah,
defensive tackle, defensive end. You don't find those guys in the third round. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that defensive line, I keep thinking about that. Just because if you can't get anything done with your defensive line and your whole team knows it in terms of stuff in the run, I know there's no Andrew Billings, but my God, those linebackers and Kyler and everybody were biting on every single bit of play action and misdirection that Kyle Shanahan did. Every single little bit.
Yeah, that was the first touchdown. It was Tyreek Stevenson biting way too hard on the play action and then can't catch up with Juwan Jennings.
Because they know they can't stop the run. Yeah. A lot of that is because they know their own defensive line is so terrible. So they're being super aggressive, and a guy like Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, they just they took advantage of the middle of the field again and again and again. Jason, this is why you want a strong defensive line, so the entire second level and third level can just stay at home and do their job.
And it's why on the flip side, you want an excellent mastermind offensive coach like Kyle Shanahan, where you could take away his pieces and he is still such an accomplished and intelligent strategist that he can still attack your weaknesses. And man, if you're the Bears, where's the let up when it comes to that? You think Kevin O'Connell is sitting there, doesn't know what to do? Ben Johnson after that? Matt LaFleur at the end of the season? You don't think he'll have any ideas of how to attack this defense? This defense had been really, really good, and their overall numbers for the season are very good. So someone that doesn't watch Bears games, someone that's sitting in Idaho and looks up NFL stats for the season is going to see the Bears rank pretty high in everything. But we've been trying to tell you, if you've been listening on here when we've been talking, if you've been reading in the Sun-Times, we've been trying to tell you for weeks this defense is bleeding. It's crumbling. And that part doesn't surprise me about Sunday's result. You asked what surprised me about it. I wasn't surprised that they had a lot of trouble defensively because that has been coming.
It's funny, too, because if you go back, and I remember that when I was on the Midday Show, we were out at Circa, and we were talking about them still needing a defensive end, and then they make the trade for Daryl Taylor at before the season starts, and you're like, oh, well, okay, that gives them another body. But the idea that wasn't a priority, that just because you had Montez Sweat didn't mean that your problems were solved, that Jervon Dexter is still a bit of a project, and I think that he's been okay at playing three technique, and I think that he's been better this year than he was last year at doing the job. You still didn't have enough, and you didn't, and it made it so that offenses could go, well, we could just isolate Montez, and then we'll be able to do what we need to do. And that's what they've done. And so, like, it just strikes me that the importance of that seemed to rank so low for them, and they don't understand that once you start talking about quarterback and receiver, it's go get the person that gets the quarterback as being a big part of what your defense needs. And whether it's the three technique or the other end, they have not made it a priority. And it's horrible that that is the case.
Yeah, and now you look at, let's say they have the number five pick in the draft, Lawrence. You're like, oh, that'd be great to solve their pass rusher problem. But then who's playing left tackle for you? And then what's your plan at defensive tackle? And there's too many holes at the premium spots this far along. That is a big problem in Ryan Poles.
You might have to draft a safety high.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. You're right. You're right in highlighting the need that you're highlighting, but you just can't. You can't. You have too many more important things that have to be fixed. To me, my priority list in building any roster would be quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle. And then we talk about, you know, wide receivers and corners. Even though that is the order I would generally go in, if I had to pick one problem to just throw resources at and fix, it is that Caleb Williams cannot play behind this offensive line next year. He cannot play behind this type of offensive line. I will take my chances with a defense that's going to give up 30 points a game rather than expose him to what he's been exposed to this year, where he might set the NFL record for most times sacked in a season.
Which is why. What's the number, 76?
Yeah, I think it's 76 with David Carr. But, I mean, you look at that, you look at Matt Eberflus, you look at Shane Waldron, and you're sitting here saying, if you're Caleb Williams, and he's never said anything like this publicly, to his credit, or privately, that I've heard, you're saying, this was everything I was worried about.
No, he's never said it.
Everything
he's never
I was worried about coming here.
Yeah, it's an ugly situation. We have some Bears roster moves that just crossed moments ago, Jason. The Bears have placed DeAndre Carter on injured reserve with that hamstring injury. They signed a defensive lineman, Jonathan Ford, from the Packers practice squad. That always feels good.
You get all that information.
Yeah, and then they added a running back, Royce Freeman, the former Bronco. Yeah, the former Bronco, to the practice squad. They have a need for a running back, and boy, do they ever. Add that to the list. I mean, I know he's just signed DeAndre Swift, obviously, but he has a negative nose for anything between the tackles. It's remarkable. I was very wrong about him.
You hate him more than you should, Speed.
You
really do. I'm like, when you go off on your DeAndre Swift stuff, I'm like,
I was wrong.
Been fine.
I don't like when it's exposed that I was wrong, because I looked at him as a possible bell cow, because there was some usage of him like a bell cow in Philly where they really leaned on him, but that's a much better offensive line that opened much bigger holes. And you see him, the way that he runs on the inside zone stuff, he just falls down for that second or third yard or dives flat and doesn't do what we see good running backs do between the tackles at all.
I understand why you feel that way. He can very easily have 1,000 yards before the year is up.
Yeah, I know. But it'll be 3 yards in a play where he could have gotten 5 or 6. And I grew up loving Thurman Thomas and Emmitt Smith, guys like that who would, if there was 5 or 6 to get, that's what they would get. And that's what you need in the NFL, and he's just not that at all.
Can I throw a roster question at you guys that I've been thinking about with the Bears?
Sure.
One of these things I circled on my flip card for my shopping list for...
I love that you're doing that for the Twitch people, by the way.
It's like the NFL's version of Jules. You're going to the Jules. You know, you got the draft and the free agency. One of the positions I circled was the second starting outside corner, Tyreek Stevenson.
Oh, boy.
What do you do with Tyreek Stevenson right now?
We spent some time talking about this earlier in the week. To me, the conclusion is you let him play and you say, be aggressive. Find what it was that you thought made you special at the beginning of the year. If you want to go out there and be a clown and even take a 15-yard penalty at some point, we need you to find your, not on the sideline, not tripping a guy, but actually playing the game. If you want to be a little bit more aggressive, go for it.
Let me be the first to suggest this. Because Terrell Smith will get a lot more of the snaps, perhaps, moving forward, as they're time splitters. Tyreek Stevenson, strong safety. if Jaquan Brisker is unable to keep playing.
Oh God, I hate when we do the position switch.
I know, but you know he's good. He's pretty good in run support, and his instincts are to fly towards the ball carrier. I know.
Let me ask you this,
I don't trust him in one-on-one coverage, and neither do you.
The skill set that he has and the investment that you made in him as a football player exclusively, as a player on the field on Sundays, he does bring value to you as a depth piece at corner.
Yeah.
And maybe even in this hypothetical that you're throwing out there, Matt. But what about his history tells you that he will accept and handle something like that well?
Yeah, no, he didn't accept and handle the slap on the wrist after the Hail Mary very well, did he?
No.
I think if it's me, he's got to go. And I think that is not necessarily a problem that the Bears have to solve through resources in the offseason, because one of the things on the positive side of the ledger of what they accomplished the last 3 years, both Ryan Poles in talent acquisition and Matt Eberflus in player development, is they're loaded at corner. They have three backups that can play at corner. And it's really like that gives you the luxury to say that a second round pick who doesn't really work out, like Tyreek Stevenson, who is not even giving you the trade-off of good play with all of the antics and all of the other issues, not even giving you the trade-off of, well, it's kind of worth it because, you know, look how good he is. He's not giving you that. And I don't picture him buying into and just getting on board with the idea of, well, you're going to be a backup, you're going to play, you know, in rotation, or you're going to, you know, you'll start if somebody gets hurt. I just don't see that going well.
Jason, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
It's Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times. We love talking with him. There's some baseball for us to cover on the north side of the city. Don't go anywhere, because there's some stuff that we need to get into here as well. And you're going to hear about all the stuff from the baseball man of the Cubs. I wonder what cheap line he's going to peddle this time to say he doesn't want to spend money to get free agents. See, that's who you should be mad at, not DeAndre Swift. It's next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get better, and we'll see where that goes. You know, we have to, deals have to come together. You have to, you know, try to do smart deals, but ultimately, like, I think we have a really great foundation right now. It's just a question of, can we build around that, make it better?
President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer talking about the offseason that the Cubs have had so far. Their name has come up in a lot of different iterations of trades. They're still waiting on some stuff, and they've been out here telegraphing that they want to trade Cody Bellinger. And now maybe Seiya Suzuki doesn't want to be here anymore because they might want him to be the DH on this team, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he's not a good fielder.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff.
There's a lot of stuff percolating, Lawrence. And let's start with...
It's time for it.
Let's start with what I think is the headline that you've been stressing that a lot of people are feeling. And this is the basic element behind things that are going on. It's not the only one, because I do believe that for different reasons, Craig Counsell, Carter Hawkins, and Jed Hoyer are all giving voice to a go-for-it mindset right now for this year. But it comes with financial constraints. This is Ken Rosenthal on Inside the Clubhouse from Saturday morning with Bruce Levine. And was it Ryan McGuffey? Was it our guy Ryan McGuffey with Bruce? It usually is on Saturday morning. I do believe it was. When asked why the Cubs are not in on Juan Soto.
Why aren't the Cubs a team that's playing in this deep pool of $700 million contracts and 13, 14, 15-year deals?
They should be.
Yeah.
They should be.
Thank you.
And they are a team that is a big market team, right? They play in a big market. There is no reason the Cubs should not be in this mix. And the only person who can answer that question is Tom Ricketts. And he's the owner, and he sets the budget and sets the agenda along those lines. They remind me very much of where the Red Sox have been the previous 3 or 4 years, kind of not participating in a big way in the free agent market, doing piecemeal things like Matthew Boyd. And I don't understand it. The Cubs are, as I said, a big market team. They should be operating that way, just as the Red Sox seemingly are operating that way now, but they are in the same boat.
That is red meat that I put on your plate, Mr. Holmes.
This is exactly how I feel, and this is one of baseball's most trusted reporters saying that on the Cubs flagship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. I'm tired of this.
Okay. Now, I understand that, and we'll have all offseason to discuss, and we will. But
I thought you said you put red meat on my plate. Why can't I eat it?
Oh, sir, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Good.
You're in a division
mm-hmm.
where if you look at the amount of money you make versus the amount of money that the other teams make, it's not – some of them you can combine, and they're not even close to what it is that you do and what you have and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
– not even – no ketchup either on the red meat. Just
– no, I don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
No. A little bit of sea salt occasionally,
that's
depending.
Nice. Black pepper.
Although last night went to Bien Mesabe. Don't need anything, man. That's the truth.
They know what they're doing.
That's a favor to me and Tanny.
Were you up on the north side? Up on the north side last night?
Yeah.
Or downtown here?
I went north side.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's in Edgewater? The one in Edgewater? Or is it Andersonville maybe?
Is it Ravenswood technically?
Maybe it might be Ravenswood.
I think it's technically Ravenswood.
Those tequenos, man.
Fam. Mm.
With that sweet sauce.
I had never tried the Venezuelan lemonade before. So good.
Really?
Yeah. Brown sugar cane they make it with.
Let's go.
Maybe I'll choose that place when Shane loses the bet.
I would like that. That's cheap.
Inexpensive.
Inexpensive. Not cheap. Sure.
Now, back to the Cubs front office.
Sorry, I got all excited talking about red meat.
Brought us right back. So look, that's the reality of this offseason. And we've heard Jed Hoyer say, yep, we will be in on some of those kind of players, but we're not in on this one. And this now, though, leaves an opening for them to be aggressive via trade. These are Carter Hawkins' comments to The Athletic in the piece about Kyle Tucker, talking about how important it is to go from 85 to 87 wins, that it might be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. He was asked this question firmly. Does this mean the Cubs are in a cycle of contention where they're willing to trade future wins for current wins? And Carter Hawkins didn't hesitate to Patrick Mooney. He said, that's correct, he said. So they're going to be super aggressive via trade right the hell now.
But it should be both, Speaks.
I understand.
That's the thing.
Here's what I'm telling you, though. If they get Kyle Tucker, okay? If they get Kyle Tucker.
If they don't get Kyle Tucker, me and you are going to have a tussle.
But let's say they get Kyle Tucker and they trade away Cody Bellinger. which is what the rumors look like right now.
I think that would be an upgrade.
That is an upgrade. If they're trading Bellinger, who's owed $27.5 million with an option for the year behind that, Tucker's only owed $16.7 million, so you got some of that. But Tucker's a much better player. I really like Bellinger as a player, but he played in 130 games at a 2.2 F4. Kyle Tucker was a four-win player in only 78 games. 50 games fewer, 54 games fewer, and 52 games fewer. And he had almost two more wins. And Kyle Tucker is a stud at the age of 27 and it would be a tremendous upgrade. Even if they lose Paredes and prospects for Tucker and they play Matt Shaw at third base, you know, and you've taken away Bellinger, if you keep Suzuki as your DH, you are a better team at that point. Now, maybe they should keep Bellinger as well and have all these pieces. And you could have Bellinger at first base and Michael Bush as a pinch hitter. There's no reason you have to hand him the job.
You might have to have Michael Bush at second base if Nico's not healthy.
It's possible. But I'm telling you that the front office and council want to be aggressive, but they do have some constraints as of right now.
I'm not giving them any alibis. But we'll continue to talk about this all throughout the winter. When we come back, there's a story in college football that's really intrigued us. And it's going on in Chapel Hill, and it does have some impact on the Bears. Our guy, Adam Rittenberg, is a friend of the show. He's going to join us to explain all of this next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 The Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, you'd always have it on.
Afternoons on The Score.
Well, yeah, I did grow up that way. You know, my dad was a college coach. He was in North Carolina for 3 years, Vanderbilt for a year, and then in the Navy for 50. So, but yeah, it seems like college football is more like pro football. I've talked to a lot of college coaches about things like the salary cap and putting value on players and negotiating and kind of mixing all that together. So I think there are some similarities from what I've heard. I haven't experienced it firsthand, but feels like that.
It feels like it's close to happening that Bill Belichick will be the next head coach at North Carolina, but we're not to the finish line as of yet. That's what he had to say on Pat McAfee's show. Spiegs and I have been so intrigued by this story that we were sitting around and I was like, well, I know a guy. I know a guy that might be able to help shed some light on all of this stuff for us. And luckily, Adam Rittenberg had a few minutes for us here. He covers college football for ESPN and does an amazing job of it. He's joining us on Twitch as well. Professor Rittenberg, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. How real is this Bill Belichick, North Carolina thing?
You know, it's pretty real. Good to be with you guys, first of all. But yeah, it's pretty real. It's gone on for a while, as you'd imagine, with such a historic move. You're really for both sides. This is not something that North Carolina has done before. Obviously, Bill Belichick has been a career NFL coach, and we all thought his next move, if there was one, would be back to the NFL. So, you know, it's taking longer than a normal process would. North Carolina has talked to some traditional candidates as well, but it feels like the board, not necessarily the university administration, but the Board of Regents, the Board of Trustees, is really driving the idea of bringing Bill Belichick in as the next Tar Heels coach. And we may get an answer later today, one way or the other, but you know, this isn't just that kind of open and shut. Let's offer a contract. Are you in? Yes. Let's do a press conference. There's a lot of other steps going on here for him to even, you know, say yes to this and for both sides to reach an agreement.
Adam, a couple of things on this move, which fascinates us. Has Bill hit a sweet spot in terms of the target of a school that might hand over the entire operation to him? A top five program, but in a little bit of a down period, who might say, okay, yeah, we'll let your kid be the head coach in waiting and we'll abide by your 400-page Bible, but you're also in a good spot where you could eventually battle for a title. That's the first question. How's the sweet spot?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the fascinating part if it does come to fruition, or even if it doesn't, because, yeah, it's not your traditional hire where you're just getting the coach. So he obviously has some demands, and his son is involved in that, and all sorts of other things. And, you know, I think if North Carolina football was humming along and, you know, winning the ACC and getting into the college football playoff, you know, they would be less interested in the idea of bringing in a 72-year-old coach, obviously one of the greatest to ever do it, but who has these other things that he needs in order to make it work. And you do wonder, even though it's very different coaches, if this is a Colorado situation with Deion Sanders. I was just out there for their season finale last week, and they have turned over the whole program to him. You know, they were at the bottom. They were a 1-11 team. North Carolina, it's not that bad. But let's face it, they haven't won an ACC title in my lifetime, and I'm not that young. So this is a program that needs something. I don't know if it necessarily needs Bill Belichick at this time, but I understand their desire to do something bold, at least some of the folks' desire there. And if they do that, it is going to be more significant than just hiring a coach and having that coach work within your constraints as a program. Because why else would Bill Belichick take this over if he doesn't have much more control than the average coach would?
Well, and you took us there with the Deion comparison, which we had talked about off the air. Lawrence had brought up off the air. Is it worth it for a school like North Carolina to hand it over to Bill financially and logistically and everything? Has it been worth it for Colorado to do that?
You know, it has for Colorado, just because they were such a down program. One win in the year before Deion got there. They won 9 this year. They came close to getting to the Big 12 championship game. And there's incredible attention around the Colorado program that simply wasn't there before. You know, the difference in North Carolina, guys, is, you know, it's a basketball school. It always will be. Like, that program will always outshine the football program. So, you know, do they need this in football? And I was even talking to some coaches who had worked at Carolina before, and they were surprised, you know, because they know how that place works, that it's always going to be basketball first there, with the money, with the interest, with the resources. And maybe now it's shifting to be a little bit more like football. But Colorado as a program, an athletic program, needed the jolt, and they were willing to bring in Deion and doing everything that it takes to go along with him as the leader of your program and as the face of your university. North Carolina, to me, is not in that exact same place as an athletic program because of the success in basketball.
This is a weird way that I'm going to ask this question, but let's say that they can't come to terms on this. Is Bill Belichick's interest, is that enough to raise the profile that maybe a coach that wasn't thinking about North Carolina maybe changes their mind and goes, you know what, maybe I can go in there and demand more money and get some of the things that I was hoping to get even at a basketball school?
Yeah, Lawrence, I think it's going to be tough, and it's almost gone the opposite direction, because other people I've talked to that were in the mix, you know, brought up things to me like lack of alignment. And, you know, it doesn't seem like the board and the administration are on the same page. And so if this doesn't go towards Bill Belichick and the board essentially doesn't get what it wants, I almost think it'll be more of a turnoff to other candidates. And, you know, we're already sitting here in almost mid-December. Signing day has happened. The transfer portal is open. You know, every day that this goes by without a resolution, I don't think that necessarily serves North Carolina. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get a good coach on the other end of this, but I think some of the traditional candidates, you know, guys that were on my list when I put out a list for North Carolina, I think we're concerned about, you know, the politics within that program between the board and the traditional university administration.
Adam, did you or did anybody know that Bill Belichick was compiling this 400-page organizational Bible? Like when he's visiting Brian Kelly at LSU 2 weeks ago, is he writing down a few do's and don'ts? Like, were he and Nick Saban having coffee clutches where they were, like, ideating together? Like, this is an amazing manifesto we now know exists.
Well, there's no doubt that he is a very intelligent person and a thorough person. And the fact that he put something like that together in talking to some coaches that have worked under him over the years doesn't surprise them. And he's obviously got more time on his hands now because he's not running an NFL team. So, it will be fascinating to see what was real about that plan. But I will say this, that those who have worked with him have told me that he will be very thorough and ask for a lot of things and want a lot of guarantees before he says yes to this opportunity. Because, again, for him, it's foreign territory. You know, he knows what it's like to be in the NFL. He knows what it's like to run an NFL franchise, essentially. It's different in college and with NIL and with the portal and in some ways becoming more like the NFL, but it's not exactly like the NFL. There's not a salary cap. There's not, you know, the same free agency model, and the calendar is all screwed up. So it is a different area for him to be in. Not surprising that he's that prepared.
Who are the other college coaches in his midst through the years? I remember him bringing in Chip Kelly to Patriots camp and like talking about stuff. Who else did he visit this year? If I'm some of them, I might be a little pissed. He's been mining me for data the entire time.
Yeah, not sure where he's been, but I mean, he's got so many connections around the country. I mean, Jed Fish, obviously out at Washington, is the head coach, and the defensive coordinator, Steve Belichick. So I know Bill has been out there a number of times to Washington. So is Pete Carroll, you know, another guy who's connected. Brendan Carroll is the offensive coordinator. His son is Jed's offensive coordinator. So there's places like that where, you know, coaches are always going around. I talked to guys who've been fired in this cycle who are kind of bored at home. So, hey, I'm going to go over and watch this team practice. It's what they do. It's very hard to stay away from the sport when you've been involved with it as long as a guy like Bill Belichick has.
All right, so look, you did us a favor by giving us all the intel. I'm going to do you a favor right now. I know you want to get these Bears thoughts off. Go ahead. Oh, go ahead, Adam. What you got on your Chicago Bears?
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. And Lawrence, you nailed it on the Cubs yesterday. What you guys have said about what's going on with that franchise and the fact that they're never in the mix for the great player. The city deserves so much better on so many levels. My Twitter account got hacked a couple of weeks ago, so I've had no outlet. I do appreciate that opportunity. It's been really frustrating, obviously, as someone who follows the Bears from the outside, so to speak, to see what's been going on with them. I'm on board for this trading for a coach thing, guy. I mean, like, what? Why not? Why not do something like that? Do something bold. Bring in an established coach for this team to guide it out of the mess that it's in right now. Because they've tried the coordinators over the years. It just hasn't worked. I know there's some other things in play, but man, it's been frustrating to see a team with some talent fall this far short.
I love that the inner meatball comes out for the Bears.
He's so mad about the
Cubs,
Bears.
Cubs too. I get after it on the Cubs because, again, Matt, and you get it. Why is Chicago never in the mix for those teams? You see the ballpark, it's full. There's energy around there. Yeah. It's a national team, and it's like it's run at a different level. It's run it as a mom and pop. Oh, we're not going to get involved. Why is this city underserved by its sports teams by not being involved for the biggest names in the sport? It's really unfortunate. I'm not from here. I've lived here for a long time. The city absolutely deserves better.
Well said, Professor. Thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's Adam Rittenberg, who covers college football beautifively for ESPN.
Oh, my God.
And
I love
gets off takes. That's awesome. We got to collect those kind of people who need the outlet for takes. It's why some of the comedy people that I've talked to in the past like will come on and be like, oh, yeah. We got to try Adam McKay again. Get him in here just as an excuse to get off those Bulls takes that they're sitting around holding on to.
What you just witnessed is what happens when I run into Professor Rittenberg on campus. He has Bears thoughts. He's got way more than he even shared with us.
That's tremendous.
Trust. We are going to turn the page.
It's time. It's an hour later. We gave you a bonus hour.
Because the Bears game is Monday, does that mean that they're going to win? We'll talk about that next on The Score.